Lord be with you. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you tonight. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Tonight we will celebrate and observe the minor festival of the conversion of St. Paul, perhaps one of the most dramatic conversion events in all of Scripture recorded for us tonight in our first reading. We pray that God would bless us as we hear His Word and receive His holy and precious gifts. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. Our opening hymn is number 802, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Following that hymn, we will follow Divine Service Setting 4. Setting 4, that's on page 203 in our hymnal. We have a worship insert for this evening. Readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. It has pleased Almighty God to summon from this veil of tears the soul of Harold Mischnick. Harold, one of our shut-in members, a grand gentleman who oftentimes came to worship with us on Wednesday evening. God called him home, and we are thankful that after many, many, many years of longing, he and his wife are now reunited. Thanks be to God. Funeral service for Harold will be Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock here at Good Shepherd. Saturday afternoon here at 2 o'clock. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings that You shower down upon us, blessings that we in no way, shape, or form earn or deserve. We thank You for calling us by grace through faith, whether that calling is of a more miraculous type or what we would consider very ordinary. Heavenly Father, to You and You alone go all power, might, glory, and credit. We thank You for forgiveness, life, and salvation which can come only through Jesus, His holy life, His sacrificial death, and glorious resurrection. Teach us today to number our days and to relish each and every one as we live and move in Jesus in the forgiveness of sins. Bless the Mischnick family with that comfort that only the good news of Jesus can provide. Bless us now tonight as we hear Your Word and receive Your precious gifts. All these things, Lord, we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We sing our opening hymn. Divine Service Setting 4, page 203. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's Word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has had mercy on you, and has given His only Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the evening.
Almighty God, you turned the heart of him who persecuted the church, and by his preaching caused the light of the gospel to shine throughout the world. Grant us ever to rejoice in the saving light of your gospel, and following the example of the Apostle Paul, to spread it to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. We continue in the readings.
The first reading, the conversion of St. Paul, is written in Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength, and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with the words of our gradual as printed on your service insert. We speak them together. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers for building up the body of Christ. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens,
but members of the household of God.
The epistle is from Galatians chapter 1. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. But I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when He who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son to me in order that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 19th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Peter said in reply, See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Jesus said to them, Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on His glorious throne, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers or sisters, or father or mother, or children or lands, for My name's sake, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We now confess the faith of the Church in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We continue with our hymn of the day, hymn 611. You may be seated.
many who are first will be last, and the last first. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this evening, this commemoration of the conversion of St. Paul, comes from the gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 19th chapter of the gospel according to St. Matthew. Dear friends in Christ, Saul was dead in his trespasses and sins, dead in unbelief, dead in the delusion that by attacking Christians, he was obeying the one true God. He was a zombie, the walking dead, perversely unaware that while his lungs were breathing the free air and his heart was pumping with vigor, he was completely and utterly a corpse. Death was his share. Death was what he deserved. A life of death must surely lead to an eternity of death. But our God specializes. He rejoices. He delights in raising the dead. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what to do." The zombie is struck down by a light from heaven. The walking dead is summoned to life by the very voice of the one who conquered death. And with the hands and the voice of Ananias, water and word administered by the hand of Jesus' faithful servant, Saul is Paul. The dead one is made alive. To be alive to God is to be dead to the world. The zombie must be killed. The walking dead must be put into a watery grave. Jesus must put Saul to death and raise up Paul in his place. Ananias is afraid of Saul. Saul the zombie, Saul the killer. But Jesus assures him that in the waters of baptism, that man will be drowned and die. "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Jesus is going to take everything from Saul. His comfort, his status, his safety. Even his life will be demanded of him for the sake of Christ's name. Nothing will remain to Saul. All will belong to Christ. Even his sin, even his condemnation, even his guilt, even his death. Jesus takes it all, for he has already borne them all to the cross. The very man who would write, "God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us," that very same man personally knew what those words meant. While Saul was yet a sinner, the walking dead, a zombie, an enemy of Jesus, this very same Jesus died for him. Jesus died for Saul to put him to death, the death that takes everything in the world away from him, the death that makes him nothing. so that Christ can give him everything. Jesus declared, "Many who are first will be last, and the last first." And he will begin with Saul. Saul was the Pharisee of Pharisees,